1207. This is Midday Matters on WBOY Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter. Thanks so much for being with us for the Outer Spaces edition of our program. With us once again, as she was here last week, and she's always here on the final Thursday of the month, it's Laura Stein from Laura Stein Gardens. Laura, how are you?
I'm great, Sean. Thanks for having me in again.
Well, we're very, very glad to have you. We should note that Doug Hackbarth is still tending to Easter sales, been very busy over at the shop, so all the best to Doug. Doug will be back with us, hopefully, anyway. Hopefully, he'll have recovered from the Easter rush.
Well, I tell you, you see the sunny weather, and it makes you want to do all sorts of crazy things, like, you know, think about flowers, get outside,
exactly,
and apparently run to the florist and grab a nice bouquet.
Well, and it is turning out to be a lovely day today, Laura. I want to talk about that in just a moment here. But in the meantime, I want to invite our listeners to join us this hour. If you have a question or comment about your outer spaces, give us a call. Share your thoughts. 260-452-1185. Toll free, 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. And we also want to hear, well, what's coming up in your backyard? What's going on now that we're finally, it looks like anyway, getting away from this cold and snow? Laura Stein, like we mentioned just a moment ago, lovely day outside. Are you finally getting into the spring spirit here?
I really am. I don't know. Today feels like the day, and that could be because I pulled up the 10-day forecast, which is really kind of exciting. I think 8 out of the next 10 days or 7 out of the next 10 days, we've got 50-degree weather. Mm-hmm. So that, coupled with the intense sunshine outside, feels like, okay, this might be it.
And I certainly hope so. I'd say, you know, coming in at 5 in the morning, it's been a little chilly. I'm ready for, you know, I'm ready to get rid of the winter jacket. I know a lot of folks, you know, this time last year, we were already well into a very warm, maybe even hot season. Mm-hmm. Folks had already been able to get outside and get a lot of work done. What should people be thinking about now? Now that it looks like we finally have a clear few days, hopefully longer than that, mm-hmm. to maybe get outside and start thinking about, you know, what needs to be done.
You know what? This is definitely one of the things I wanted to touch on today, because it's just been, you know, we, even with the school closings at the beginning of the week, there's just been too much snow, it's been too cold to be outside to do anything. So now with this a little bit warmer weather, with the sunshine, we can start thinking, okay, I want to get out in my garden. There are really appropriate and good things to do now that'd be healthy for the garden. And then there'll be some things that you really don't want to touch just yet. Like, you know, we don't want to be tilling anything. Mm-hmm. You don't really want to be walking on your beds too much, because it's really easy to step on the crowns and the little buds that are coming up from your from the new growth on your plants, and especially mm-hmm. bulbs. The soil is so wet right now that walking on beds can really compact the soil, so that when it dries out, especially with this clay, it just gets really, really hard, and it's tough on the plant roots because mm-hmm. with that soil compaction. So we want to stay out of the beds until some of this moisture drains a little bit out of the soil. But pruning, it's a great time to prune. and for flowering things, it's also really important to know, does this particular shrub or tree, if you're going to be pruning trees, does it bloom on new growth or does it bloom on old growth? That's sort of the deciding factor on if you want to prune it or not. Hmm. You can always prune any shrub, but are you cutting the blooms off? That's our question. So I've got a couple lists of common plants we can go through and see what you want to prune now and what you might want to wait for.
We can get into that in just a moment, but I want to invite our listeners. We don't currently have anybody either in the phone bank or in our email inbox or on Facebook or even on Twitter who has a question or comment. So you can be the first one. Get in early and get your question answered. 260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. Of course, our email, middaymatters@nipr.fm. post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. You'll get right through. I want to get to your list here in just a moment, Laura, mm-hmm. but speaking of Facebook, as usual, you sent us some really lovely photos here, kind of thinking spring, and it must have had an effect on Mother Nature, because here
oh,
it right. is.
If only I had that sort of power. I would have done it weeks ago. Yep. But I've got some pictures of blooms that we can expect to see soon. These are early blooming perennials and an early blooming tree that you can take a look on our Midday Matters Facebook page and just sort of get excited for those things and start watching for them.
And these are things we can hope to see, what, in the next few weeks here if things stay nice?
Probably in the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah.
So we're looking at things like redbud. We've got
We've got a redbud tree, and I love those. Are one of the first trees to bud out, and they have little teeny tiny red blooms, but they look distinct because they bloom on the branches before they leaf out. So that's always a just an interesting quality of those. And I also know that the red buds are really important for our native honeybees and other insects who need nectar because they're one of the first things that bloom out. So that's a good one to plant in your home garden. It's a nice small tree too.
We also have one of probably my favorite photo of the week, the little bleeding heart.
I love those. They're just the sweetest little the sweetest little perennial. These have a they grow up just to about 18 inches tall. This is Dicentra spectabilis, and this is the one that has an arching branch, and then the little hearts hang down, usually just in a row of pink hearts. You can also get it in white. What's interesting, I think, of this particular plant is that there is also a native that you'll see in the woods. If you go out to Fox Island, Matea, or one of the Acres properties, it's called Dutchman's Breeches. It's also a Dicentra. It's funny. It looks like a little pair of hanging pants.
we'll get back to some of our photos here. Of course, you can see them on our Midday Matters Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Midday Matters. In the meantime, it looks like we have a caller on the line. And of course, if you want to get in touch with us by phone, we certainly hope you will. 260-452-1185. Toll free, 800-471-9264. Let's open the phones and go to Marilyn. Marilyn, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi. I have a question about Canadian thistle.
All right. Hi, Marilyn.
Oh, it's a mess.
That's a tough one.
It's hard to get rid of. I know it's a perennial weed. It goes down to China, and I've been battling it for the last 2 or 3 years.
It is one of the things with Canadian thistle that you definitely don't want to do is pull it. So if you pull it, usually the stem will break off, and there are still roots remaining in the ground. And so you pull one plant, and then in a few weeks you get five others from where it all broke off. So unfortunately with Canadian thistle, it really is one of those plants that you have to spray. I know you can try multiple sprayings of something like a Roundup. It's a heavier duty herbicide, and unfortunately at this moment I'm not coming up with the name of it, but I'll get the name of it during the break and say it back on the air again. And that is, you know, it's extremely expensive. But I think it's a couple $100 for a pint or a quart. It's very expensive. But you can mix that up, and that is supposed to do a much better job. You know, if you've got a big patch and you can go in on the cost with a neighbor or some neighbors, that's usually a good way to do it. Because the bottle it comes in is it's a concentrate, so you mix it with water.
Right. When is the best time to apply that? During bloom time?
It, you know, the earlier you can... The plant is the most tender when it first starts coming up in spring. So I would start as soon as you see it.
Okay.
Once it hardens off, and you know, certainly if it flowers, then it's going to quickly go to seed. If you see it flower, at least cut the flower off and put it in a black plastic trash bag.
Like,
yes, and get it out of your yard, because once it goes to seed, then you're there will just be many, many more.
Okay, one other question. I'm hearing a lot about downy mildew on regular impatiens, Lowariana. I heard that New Guinea impatiens are probably the better choice. How has that affected gardeners around here? Is it safe to buy the regular garden impatiens?
What I am hearing is that it is an extremely, it is a problem and has been a problem for at least a year or so. What I'm hearing from the Extension office is that there are even some growers who won't grow those now because it's such a bad problem. But I believe you're correct that the New Guinea impatient, it is not susceptible to this. So I would use that and other shade
vinca
loving.
What other plants could be used? Vinca.
You could use vinca. You could use there's a blue one.
Like Boralia or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Sorry, I'm not coming up with anything right at the moment
because
for the shade. There's not as many.
I usually do my shaded front yard with a slug of impatience. So if it's going to be a problem, I don't want to invest that kind of money into something that possibly isn't going to work well with this. And I understand there's no cure.
Right.
And you have to leave your soil. You cannot plant there for a few years after you had an infection.
Yeah, it's really something they're trying to get a hold of, and we just haven't gotten a hold of it yet.
So just go with a little bit pricier, but more safe New Guinea impatiens if I want to maintain the impatiens look, or switch over to vinca.
To vinca, or I'm sitting here thinking there's a blue lobelia you can use in the shade. There's also one called Taurinia, T-O-R-E-N-I-A.
Right.
You can use that one. I think that's blues and pinks. But certainly you could look for a list of shady annuals and substitute out. And I'm going to guess wherever you buy your, if you're going to buy your annual plants for shade at a nursery around town, they're going to have several substitutions because they're running into this problem.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Thank
Great
you.
Questions. Thank you.
Marilyn, mm-hmm. thanks Bye-bye. For the call. Bye-bye. 260-452-1185 or toll-free 800-471-9264. We need to take our first break here. When we come back, we'll have calls from Daniel and Jim and a question from Anita as well. In the meantime, we hope you'll get in touch with us. 260-452-1185. Toll-free 800-471-9264. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters Outer Spaces.
Rodney Crowell and Emmylou Harris have known each other for almost 40 years. He was in her band in the mid-70s, but they've just made their first full album as a duo. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with them and hear their music. Join us this afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
When someone says, "I'm a Southerner," what does that mean? Georgian native Tracy Thompson spent 4 years trying to answer that question and found that even with shopping centers full of chain stores and a mobile population, the region still has its own identity. I'm Celeste Headlee, the new mind of the South, plus scaling the planet's highest peaks with Google Earth. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
This afternoon at 2 p.m. here on WBOI.
Michigan took over Detroit's beleaguered finances this week. The city racked up $14 billion in liabilities by promising costly benefits.
There seemed to be a lot of robbing Peter to pay Paul.
And taking out risky loans.
The gamble absolutely didn't pay off. It backfired.
What went wrong in Detroit? Later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 here on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Goodwill Industries of Northeast Indiana, helping people with disabilities and employment barriers find and keep jobs, accepting donated items at 9 stores and area collection bins. Details at fwgoodwill.org.
1222. This is Midday Matters Outer Spaces on WBOI. I'm Sean Beter, along with Laura Stein from Laura Stein Gardens. She's here at the end of every month, and of course, we've reached the last Thursday of this month. We're headed straight on into
April.
Finally with some warmer temperatures, thank goodness. We're looking for your plant and garden questions this hour, and we want to know what's going on in your backyard as well. Give us a call. Get in touch, 260-452-1185, toll-free, 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. And Laura, it looks like a lot of folks are starting to think outside, think spring a
yes.
little bit. We're getting some questions and comments on Facebook via email and via Twitter.
Great.
I'd like to get to our very patient callers here first. Let's see who we've got on the line. Yep, let's see if we can get to Daniel on here. Daniel, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Yes, good afternoon. Perhaps you can hear it in my voice, but I've been fighting a bit of upper respiratory cold, and I seem to get one at about this time every year, and I'm trying to figure out why. I know you guys aren't doctors. I know it's not allergy season, but I didn't know if maybe changes in how the wind blows and the temperatures, the changes in the atmosphere, or maybe if something in the soil after it thaws might lifts virus spores. I think spore is the form that the virus is in when it's not active, and the dormant form. And so I didn't know if maybe those were being swept up from the soil, or if there's anything. Maybe I'm just a rare case, but I didn't know if it was a common thing or if there's anything you might know about the soil. Or
well, let's put this to Laura. Laura, I mean, this we're getting towards allergy season here.
We are. Well, you know, so to answer your question, yes, I don't know. But here's a few things to think about. you can, as the ground thaws and there is lots of moisture around, that's bound to mean there's mildew, and you know we've got bark mulch down. You know there are those sorts of things. Also, all of the maple trees have been flowering and budding out. So I know several people who are in your situation now who are starting to have some allergy-like symptoms. So you are in good company. And so you know those are a couple things to think about. It sounds like you have been thinking about what in the world could cause this.
Maybe we can put this to our audience. I know we have a lot of listeners in the medical profession here. Send us an email or tweet us or even give us a call and share your expertise with us and with Daniel this hour. So, Daniel, we hope you get some relief in the coming days here.
Yes, thank you so much.
Good
All
luck.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
260-452-1185. Toll-free, 800-471-9264. Let's get another caller on the line here. Looks like we've got Jim. Jim, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. I have a question about birth control of walnut trees. I have about seven very prolific walnut trees in my yard, and the squirrels can't keep up with them, and I end up with bunches and bunches of walnuts in the grass, and I wondered if there's anything I can do to interrupt nature and not have them make walnuts.
What's interesting, so you would be looking at some type of hormonal spray or something to.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's a great question for an arborist. My thinking is that that sort of thing would be sprayed on the leaves, and if it sounds like these are probably full grown walnut trees, so they're quite large. So to do that might be cost prohibitive. That's a great question for an arborist, though.
Okay.
And can Jim get in touch with, say, the extension office to get some recommendations?
That's a great idea. Yes.
Do you happen to remember the number? We'll get that.
Nope,
we'll get
but
that
I can
shortly.
Get it for you.
Jim, we'll get the number for the Allen County Extension Office and get it on the air and put it on our Facebook page as well.
Okay.
All right. Best of luck. Happy spring.
Thank you. Bye. Right.
Bye-bye. 260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. Laura, lots of really good questions coming.
There's a lot of thought going on
today.
Out there.
Absolutely. People are definitely thinking, well, want to get outside. Let's go to our email box. We've got a message from Anita. Anita says, I'm making wedding favors for my mother's wedding, planting seeds in baby food jars and hoping to have seedlings ready for the end of May to mid-June. I unfortunately am talented at killing plants. Any particular flowers or pot-friendly veggies that are harder to kill? Any other tips or suggestions? And that sounds like that's a really a creative favor.
That is very creative. I would say, I can't tell quite from Anita's note, that if she wants to display them in the baby jars or if that's just the place where she's going to grow them. But I will say she will have better luck if she can put it in a container that will drain so that the water will drain. It's really easy for seeds and for even little seedlings or small plants to have too much water in the soil. And something like a baby jar is going to hold all that moisture. I'm thinking of a glass baby jar.
Sure.
Maybe she's got a different type. But either if it's not a glass jar, she could put holes in the bottom to make sure it's draining. Some little seeds that would grow well would be herb seeds, things like basil, thyme. Parsley grows nicely. You know, even if you want a different texture, just a little grass seed.
Oh, yeah.
Germinates pretty quickly and easily.
Yeah.
And those are typically things she could easily find at a nursery.
And there are, I mean, I recall seeing the last time I was at my local outdoor store that, I mean, there are novelty, you know, very, very small, even like clay and plastic pots that might serve this purpose as well, and probably a little easier to drain.
Right. And those almost always have little holes in the bottom. So
sure.
So if she's just starting the seedlings and then going to move them to another container, just, you know, a little paper cup. Would work.
And that is a
great idea.
Good luck.
Yes.
And thanks very much for the question, Anita. We appreciate it. Looks like we've got another caller on the line here. Let's open the phones and go to Fred.
Hello.
Fred, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters. Fred, are you with us?
Hello.
Fred, are you there?
Okay. I'm calling in just to thank you for the program that you had last week on beekeeping. Especially the Beekeepers Association meeting, they have they offered a service at Iotron in Columbia City, whereby old, diseased supers could be irradiated. And basically, after quitting bees 30 years ago because of the disease, it sort of rejuvenated all that, because now we can sterilize the bee supers with that irradiation and have an absolutely sterile super to go create a new hive. But it was a great service to the beekeepers of Northeast Indiana.
And Fred, you're not alone. A lot of folks were terribly excited to have Jim Mast with us last week, and we certainly were as well. It was a lot of fun.
He gave us some great information. Yes, I thought that was really good too.
And the Beekeepers Association is going to have an ongoing service to allow that, so that if you happen to catch a foul brood disease, which is a spore former, this irradiation will take care of it completely, and you can just restart your whole system.
Wow.
That is a great service.
Fred, we appreciate the kind words and, as always, the call.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
Happy Easter.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 260-452-1185. Toll-free 800-471-9264. We want you to share your plant and garden questions with us this hour, and we want to know what's going on in your backyard. The snow has mostly melted by now. Are you seeing any signs of life? We want you to give us a call or get in touch with us and share what you're seeing today. Let's go to Facebook here. We had a question here from Terry, and we may have a similar answer for Terry that we had for another caller caller earlier on. Terry says, is it too late to spray trees with worm oil?
So many variables in that question. And what I would be interested to know is what type of tree is it and what the worms are. When we're looking at the home garden from a habitat perspective or an environmental perspective, some worms are pre-butterflies or butterfly larvae, and something like an oak tree, and I know our maples and river birch are those are amazing host plants for those. So I know an oak tree supports more than 500 different species of Lepidoptera, which are moths and butterflies. So I want to know if he has identified what the worms are, and then knows if there's something that is harmful. That would be key, and quite possibly he has. And then knowing the type of tree would make a big difference too. So that again is something I would recommend talking with a certified arborist or someone up at the extension office. And I have that number now.
Drum roll, please.
He could call.
The number for the extension office.
481-6826.
6826.
And they could either answer that question or guide you to an arborist who could.
All right. Best of luck, Terry, and thanks very much for the question. Let's see here. We also had a tweet come in. Our handle, of course, at Midday Matters from Annie. Annie says, I have a hydrangea I never pruned last year. When should I prune it? Also, the same goes for a peony bush.
For the peony bush, that's easy because the Annie, you can prune that right to the ground because the new growth on your peony is going to come up and then it will bloom from there. Now, the hydrangea shrub is a little bit different because there are many different kinds of hydrangeas. There's the paniculata or PG. There's the quercifolia or the oak leaf hydrangea. And then there's the pink blooming hydrangeas and the white blooming hydrangeas. So I'll break it down. If this is Annie, if you don't know, you could tweet us again and maybe just describe it. But if it's the large white softball blooming hydrangea, which is hydrangea arborescens or the Annabelle hydrangea, you can prune that down to about a foot of the ground. If it is the PG hydrangea, which is more a tree or a larger shrub, and it has white blooms that grow, kind of come to a point, you could also bloom or prune that before or after. But if it's a pink blooming hydrangea, you probably want to wait until it blooms and then go ahead and prune it back. And if it's an oak leaf hydrangea, you can wait till it blooms and then go ahead and prune it back for size. Now, when we talk about pruning shrubs in general, if you don't know or if you're uncertain, the easiest thing you can do is wait till it blooms and then cut it back. You're not gonna go wrong with that. But there are some shrubs bloom on new wood, which is what's growing this year, what is yet to grow, and then some bloom on old wood, what has grown last year, and then at the end. Last year it set its buds. So if you prune something that's got old wood on it, you're going to cut the blooms off for this year. So it's always a safe rule of thumb to wait till it blooms and then cut it back.
All right. Well, Annie, if you want to tweet us with a few more specifics, we might be able to narrow things down just a bit there. But we appreciate the tweet. We have time for just one more caller before we have to take another break here. Let's open the phones and get Terry on the line. Terry, I believe we were just talking about your comment.
Yeah, that's why I decided to call. I was asking about fruit trees. I didn't get a chance to hear what you had to say. I was talking about whether it's too late to spray them with dormant oil or not.
Good question. You know what? It's the dormant oil is. It depends, I believe, on degree days, and I believe it is still fine to do that. But you know what? I would have to check for sure. So, I would probably call the extension office on that one, or you know, you could. I'll say you could probably Google that too and find out with Purdue and find a sheet from Purdue. I'm sorry, I can't answer that one for you. We're kind of at the cusp, so it may be too late to do that.
A good resource we just mentioned their number on the air, though, is to maybe get in touch with the Allen County Extension Office, and they can certainly at least guide you in the right direction.
So. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Terry, we appreciate the comment and the call, and good luck.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 260-452-1185. Toll free at 800-471-9264. We need to take a quick break for the news. We'll have more of this conversation when we return, and we want you to get in touch with us, of course, with your questions or comments. 260-452-1185 or toll free 800-471-9264. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters Outer Spaces. Nearly one in five Hoosier women have been sexually assaulted at some point in their lives, and the state has one of the nation's highest assault rates among high school girls. Why is the problem so bad in Indiana, and what can communities do to stop it? Join us for an in-depth look at the high rate of sexual assault among Indiana's youth and possible solutions to help stop the violence. It's Shadows of Innocence from Indiana Public Broadcasting, Monday, April 1st at noon here on WBOI.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah D'Elia with WBOI News. The Indiana Senate Education Committee is signing off on a limited expansion of school vouchers one day after the state's highest court deemed vouchers constitutional. The Senate panel rewrote House voucher expansion legislation to allow siblings of voucher school students to qualify for the program. It also would qualify students who would otherwise attend a failing public school for a voucher without having to spend the one-year period in public schools currently required by law. The panel also voted Wednesday to study preschool vouchers rather than spend $7 million annually on a pilot preschool program sought by House Republicans. The changes set up a battle between House and Senate negotiators. The Indiana Supreme Court unanimously upheld Indiana's sweeping charter school law on Tuesday. A bill regulating abortion-inducing drugs administered at Indiana abortion clinics will advance to the House floor after passage in committee Wednesday. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports.
When the bill passed the Senate, it required women receiving the abortion-inducing drug known as RU486 to undergo an ultrasound prior to taking the drug. Changes in the House committee Wednesday would require the ultrasound to be offered but allow women to turn it down. The bill now only forces changes at one Indiana location, a Planned Parenthood clinic in Lafayette. That facility, the only one in the state which dispenses RU486 but does not perform surgical abortions, would have to adhere to surgical abortion clinic requirements, like door size, room size, and equipment standards. Planned Parenthood says the new regulations would be unnecessary and may cause the clinic to stop dispensing the drug. But Attica Republican Representative Sharon Nagel, the bill's sponsor, says she wants clinics that dispense the drug to be prepared for potential complications.
What type of facility would I want it to provide? What type of follow-up care? That's why I chose to sponsor this bill, because I want these safeguards in place for my daughter and her friends.
The bill does not require the same standards for private physicians who dispense the drug. Kristen Hollister, an Indiana University med student, says if the bill were truly about safety, all facilities that distribute the drugs would be regulated. When challenged to present evidence that private doctors in Indiana dispense RU486, Hollister said she couldn't provide any factual data.
But I do know that private physicians perform abortions. They don't talk about it because they don't want bombs in their parking lots.
Hollister says if clinics like the Lafayette facility are forced to stop dispensing the drug, women will go to the internet instead, creating a more dangerous scenario. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
And Democratic Senator Joe Donnelly says he supports background checks for gun buyers, including those who purchase firearms at gun shows. Donnelly told the Journal-Gazette the checks are needed to keep criminals and the mentally ill from getting weapons that, quote, can cause so much destruction. Federal law currently requires criminal background checks on prospective customers of federally licensed gun dealers, but it exempts private sellers, including weapons sold at gun shows. Donnelly had said in January that he was receptive to background checks, but declined at the time to say whether gun shows should be included. Indiana is one of 13 states where TV advertisements backed by New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg are urging viewers to tell their congressmen to vote in favor of comprehensive background checks. Thanks for listening to 89.1 FM WBOY Fort Wayne. Now back to Midday Matters Outer Spaces with Sean Beter.
It's Midday Matters on WBOI. I'm Sean Beter, along with Laura Stein from Laura Stein Gardens. Doug Hackbarth is out this week. We're here to take your plant and garden questions. And a lot of folks, now that the warmer weather is here, are thinking spring and thinking about getting out and getting their hands a bit dirty. So if you have any questions as you gaze longingly at the flower bed, give us a call, 260-452-1185. Toll free, of course, 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. Currently, no folks in the phone bank, no new emails in the inbox. So if you send us a message or get on the phone, you'll get right through. Laura, we were talking earlier about what to prune and why to prune. You mentioned you brought a list with you.
Yeah, there's some good reasons to prune. And you certainly can, as an overall rule, generally for the health of the plant, you don't necessarily need to prune. Most shrubs and trees can grow just fine by themselves.
Hmm.
But many times in the home landscape, we need to prune for size. We want to keep a shrub that will grow 8 foot tall down to 3 or 4 feet. So we prune for that reason. Also to reshape a shrub. You know, sometimes they just grow crazy out one side, especially if they're getting more light from one side than the other. We want to reshape those. Removing dead branches is actually a very good reason to do pruning. And
sure.
Things like red twig dogwood, you can go and prune those dead branches down, the dark branches, and then you get more of the really pretty red branches for winter that look great with the snow. And then also to maintain a dense hedge, you can prune that and keep it growing in a more tighter way.
Hmm.
Or tighter form.
It looks like we have another message here from Twitter. Our Twitter handle, of course, at Midday Matters. Jerry has a question. Jerry says, what sort of outdoor trees or plants might attract yellow finches? Any thoughts, Laura?
Yeah, yellow finches are just one of my favorite small songbirds that we have in our area. And so, yes, there are several. The coneflowers are great native perennial that grow here in the summer, and then they usually late summer they put on their bloom, and they have that great little they're called a cone flower because they have that cone seed head. So they like the purple cone flower, and they like helianthus, which is a native sunflower. And they like black-eyed Susans too. So those are great ones that they'll come and eat the seed. And for the cone flowers, that's why I always say let those stay up throughout the fall and winter, and then go ahead and cut them back in spring because the finches will come and eat those.
So you're looking at the purple cone flower, you're looking at black-eyed Susans and helianthus.
Mm-hmm. There's another great one too. It's a small grass that is getting a lot of attention in the home landscape. Because it does stay very small. It's one of our native grasses that is used for prairie restorations. But it's got a very fine texture. It only gets about 2 feet when the plumes are on. Sometimes it's up to 3 feet, but it's very manageable. And it's called prairie drop seed.
Hmm.
Spirobolus is the botanical name, which is just kind of fun to say, fun to spell too. But what's great about that grass is if you'll leave it up after it plumes in the fall, is that the seed heads on that have the highest fat content of any of the grasses. So it's a really great energy food for our native birds, and the finches will come and eat those too.
Wow. Well, great question, Jerry. Thanks very much. And good answer too, Laura. I learned a little something.
Good.
Although I don't think the apartment managers would be happy if I planted all that outside my window. But anyway, we want to hear from you right now. No questions in the hopper. So if you give us a ring or get in touch with us via digital means, you'll get right through. 260-452-1185. Toll free, 800-471-9264. Or email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet @middaymatters. Stay with us, back in 2 minutes.
Rodney Crowell and Emmylou Harris have known each other for almost 40 years. He was in her band in the mid-70s, but they've just made their first full album as a duo. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with them and hear their music. Join us this afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
It's been an action-packed week for the Supreme Court as the 9 justices held hearings on California's Prop 8 and the Defense of Marriage Act. While we wait for rulings, we wonder what we learned and where does the fight go from here. I'm Celeste Headlee. NPR's Nina Totenberg explains the legal arguments, plus human cannonball Ileana Grace. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
This afternoon at 2 p.m. here on WBOI.
Michigan took over Detroit's beleaguered finances this week. The city racked up $14 billion in liabilities by promising costly benefits.
There seemed to be a lot of robbing Peter to pay Paul.
And taking out risky loans.
The gamble absolutely didn't pay off. It backfired.
What went wrong in Detroit? Later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 here on WBOI.
On a very sunny Thursday afternoon, it's Midday Matters on WBOI. This is the Outer Spaces edition of our program, when we ask you to give us a call or send us a message with your plant or garden questions. And we have about 10 minutes left in the program. We certainly hope you will. 260-452-1185. Toll free at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or a lot of folks have actually been sending us tweets via Twitter this hour. Our handle there, @middaymatters. Lots of really great questions this hour. Looks like we have another one coming here from Regina. Let's see if we can get Regina on the phone. Good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters. Regina, are you there?
I am here. It's Virginia. Oh, Hollows Retreat.
I'm so sorry, Virginia. My mistake. Well, you're on the air. Welcome to the program.
I'm looking for a recommendation for a vine that will grow in mostly shade.
Okay. There are not very many, as I'm sure you have found out.
I'm finding out.
There is a really great one, though. If you've got a structure.
Yeah,
that it can climb on. Okay. And there is a climbing hydrangea, which is absolutely beautiful. And if you've got it can grow very big. I've seen it grow as high as probably 25, 35 feet, and it grows up the trunks of trees really nicely. If you've got a very tall maple or oak tree, this is a gorgeous vine to grow up it. Now you could keep it trimmed back, but you would want the trellis to be somewhat sturdy.
Is the foliage attractive if I keep it trimmed and don't get a lot of blooms? Is the foliage attractive?
The foliage is not unattractive. When I
that's quite
boy,
an answer.
I jumped right around that, didn't I? But you wouldn't need to trim it so much that you would be trimming off the blooms. I guess what I'm saying is you could trim the end of it, the ends of it, if you needed to. Also, how much sun are you getting? Are you getting 4 hours, 5 hours?
Well, it's on the west end of the house that there's a big maple tree about 15 feet west of the site.
Okay. So pretty dense sun or dense shade?
It's pretty dense shade. There'd be intense light for maybe 2 hours.
Okay. There, you could also try Dutchman's pipe, which is actually a native vine, and it has really nice kind of heart-shaped foliage. The blooms are underneath, so then they look like a little pipe, which is kind of cute. But it's a native vine, and that could work for you as well.
Okay.
Good luck.
Right, thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Virginia, we appreciate the call. Sorry, I bungled your name there as well.
It's all right. It's happened before.
All right. Have a great day. Thanks so much. Bye bye. 260-452-1185. If you have a question or comment you'd like to get in under the wire this hour, looks like we have another caller on the line. We'll get to Tony in just one moment here. We had a Facebook comment, though, from Hannah. Hannah says, I'm starting veggie plants again this year by seed. Any tips to keep them from getting too leggy?
Typically, vegetable plants and really any plants get too leggy because they're not getting enough sun.
And for those of us who are maybe outside the trade here, what is too leggy?
Oh,
mean?
Thanks. Yeah, good idea or good thought. So when we say something, a plant is getting too leggy, it means it is growing very rapidly and very tall or out to the side. Quicker than it's filling out. So that happens when they don't get enough light. So if I don't know if you've got a Hannah, I don't know if you've got a light, but if you do have a growing light, you can put it down closer to the vegetables. Or if you're just kind of winging this inside, you can try to get it as to a window that's got as much direct afternoon or morning light as you can.
All right. Hannah, very good luck. And let us know how the veggies end up. We're always curious.
Yes, good luck.
We've got a caller on the line here, and let's open the phones and go to Tony. Tony, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Hello. I have a question about a lilac bush / tree, great big lilac tree.
Uh-huh.
I did not prune that back last year, and I'm wondering, is it too late to do it now?
It is too late to do it now.
Oh.
But you can do it right after it blooms. And you know,
okay.
if is it a regular lilac shrub that has?
It's almost like a tree thing. It's real tall and real wide.
Okay, they really do. The old fashioned varieties get quite large. You can take it back a full third easily, and sometimes on the lilacs you can even go back a half. So, but if you want the bloom, and who doesn't on a lilac?
I do.
Yeah, they're one of the amazing parts of spring. You'll want to wait at this point to prune it. And you're
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much, Tony. Have a great day. 260-452-1185. If you want to get on the phone with us right now, we've got just a few minutes left in our show. Of course, you can always send an email, middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. We'll do our best to get you in before we have to say goodbye. Laura Stein, I know we're reaching the end of the program here. I know there was an event coming up that you wanted to chat about briefly.
There is an event I just wanted to make people aware of, and maybe pencil this in on your calendar, because before I come on next month, we will have Earth Day Fort Wayne, and there's a great event, Earth Day Fort Wayne 2013, happening out at Eagle Marsh, which is one of Little River Wetlands projects. And it is at 6801 Eagle Road, and probably anyone who's driven down Eagle Road between Jefferson and Smith Road know where that is. And I drive by, I watch for the eagle, I try not to wreck the car. But Sunday, April 21st from 1 to 5, and admission is free. They're having this Earth Day event. And what is very exciting this year is that in between Smith Road and Jefferson Place, which is a an association out there, they're going to close Ingle Road down. They're just going to shut the road down, and that's where they're going to have the celebration. So it's going to be really exciting.
Very cool. And we'll get along with the information for the extension office. We'll get some information up about Earth Day Fort Wayne. Right after the show here as well.
They've got a Facebook page. So
perfect. Absolutely.
Very
perfect.
Nice. Yes.
We've got time for maybe one more caller before we have to say so long for this edition of Midday Matters. Let's open the phone lines and see if we can't get Lisa here. Lisa, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead.
I have two kind of one quick question and one maybe that's just slightly a little bit longer. I noticed that some of the bulbs in one of my beds were dug up over the winter, and they're just sitting on top of the ground in the bed, and I didn't know if they were killed or if I can actually put them back into the ground, because some of those bulbs are starting to come up now.
Yes, I would definitely put them back in the ground. You don't really have anything to lose at this point. And because they have gone through the cold period, there's a very good chance that they may go ahead and grow. So, yeah, I would just tuck them back down, make sure you get the soil and mulch, a little mulch over the top. And I would say you'd have a pretty good shot on that one.
Okay. The other question I had is this same bed. It's in front of my house, in front of my porch. I, over the past few years that I've lived at this house, have tried so many different plants in this bed, and nothing ever does well. It gets a lot of shade in the morning and then a lot of hard sunlight in the afternoon. And everything that I've tried to put in it, it just, by the time the sun hits it, it just shrivels up. I can't put enough water on it. And I'm wondering if you have any recommendations for types of plants or flowers that might work well in this type of a environment.
There are, I would want to ask you, and I'm not sure we have time, but about the soil moisture, and is it a wet area?
We have just about 40 seconds here,
okay.
So if you can be brief,
Lisa. Does it drain well, or does it hold moisture?
It's not excessively wet, and it's not, but when the sun does hit it strongly, it does dry it out pretty quickly.
Okay. Things that are hardy are viburnum. There are many different native varieties, and boxwoods, yews, lilacs are hardy. We could talk more about this, Lisa.
Lisa,
those are some.
Lisa, I'm sorry we've reached the end of the program here already. Thanks very much for the call. And thanks to everybody, in fact, who called in and sent us a message today. Thanks to you, Laura Stein from Laura Stein Gardens. We always appreciate you being here with us. I'm Sean Beter. This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 FM HD Channel 1 and online at nipr.fm. This is WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester. Stay with us. Fresh Air with your local host, Katie Anderson, is up next. It's 1 o'clock.